Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Colts Film Room. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Good news is that you guys have seen a couple of our additional podcasts going up. Obviously, you guys have been listening to Horseshoes with Holder. We've got a new one with Chris Blystone from Stampede Blue where he's doing Dark Horses, where he's describing and going through all the Colts' possibilities for the postseason, kind of the AFC playoff picture as well. That's an interesting listen, so make sure you guys are listening to all of that. And, of course, you know, usually I've done these film rooms on the Colts cast, but we're going to go ahead and make these the Film Room podcast because we have been doing that or have done that in the past. We're going to go ahead and get that back on track with that and not necessarily do it on the Colts cast, but this is what we're going to do from now on. So we're going to go through, like we've done in the past, look at some of the film takes that from the past week's game of the Colts opponent. And in week 13 right now, the Colts are headed to Jacksonville to face off against the Jaguars. Now, the Colts are 6-5. Basically, I mean, same record as the Baltimore Ravens when it comes to where they're at in the wild card picture. But the Ravens have the wild card now, the sixth spot at this moment. The Ravens have a much more difficult schedule, I think, than the Colts do right now. The Colts have to win a lot of what they've got left. I mean, they don't have to win out, I don't necessarily think, but they've got to win a lot. Like I said, the Ravens have several more difficult opponents, and I think that that's probably why they've got their sixth spot currently right now. So we're going to look at both the offense and the defense. We've talked about the Jaguars in the past and in just a few weeks ago. You know, we kind of saw what they've got now, but this is a different take. This is going to be a different look. They're going to have Cody Kessler at quarterback. They're not going to have Fournette because of his suspension. They may or may not have Jalen Ramsey. So there could be a lot of different factors that go into this game that make it a completely different ball game, at least from an offensive standpoint. I think I'm going to guess that Ramsey plays. But at least offensively, you've got a different quarterback. You're going to have Carlos Hyde, and you're going to have TJ Yeldon getting virtually all the snaps in the backfield. So we've got a little bit to look at and kind of try to kind of almost guess at what we're going to see, because we know what they do offensively for the most part. We just don't know how that new dynamic with their offensive starters is going to play out. One of the big things that we need to watch, I think, is kind of how they get Kessler into a rhythm. This is going to be something that the Colts really have to be cognizant of going into this from a defensive standpoint for the Colts, because they've got to understand that Kessler is not going to be, you know, a guy that they necessarily go downfield with a lot. They didn't do that a lot with Bortles anyways. But it is a different thing. They're going to try to get him going. I think Kessler is probably as good or better than Bortles, to be quite honest with you, even though he's not very good. But it doesn't take a lot to be better than Bortles, to be quite honest with you. Bortles is kind of gross and bad. He can throw those lofty balls and put some pretty solid touch on it. Outside of that, he's kind of useless under center. Cody Kessler, on the other hand, doesn't have that arm. How they are going to try to figure him out and how they're going to get him going offensively is going to be kind of a mystery until we actually see it play live tomorrow. So let's go with what we've seen. Their offense right now looks very, very kind of peaked without Leonard Fournette. Fournette, obviously, like I said, has been suspended for that game for fighting, throwing punches. That's going to be a big thing for the Colts, because their running game with Fournette is pretty solid. Their running blocking up front is kind of hit and miss. So depending on how they do this dynamic, this 1-2 punch type of thing with Hyde and with Yeldon, is going to be something that the Colts are going to have to really kind of learn as they go. And you know, they're going to have the speed. Yeldon has had some good games against the Colts in the past. He's also had some real stinkers. We don't really know what to expect from Hyde. He's kind of been hit and miss as well, but he's a quality back, and he's got the power aspect to his game as well. I just think the Colts are going to have to really get in this. Let's look real quick at kind of what Jacksonville is. Most of their offense is in the low to mid to high 20s. in rank in the NFL. There one aspect that really I think kind of makes a big difference for this is obviously we've talked in the past about how opportunistic the Colts defense is, how they've turned over every single team they've played this year. The Jaguars are 30th in turnover differential at negative 11. I think that's going to play a big part in this. You're going to have a new quarterback, a guy who's trying to take some chances, trying to get himself, to keep that starting spot. So he wants to perform, and he wants to show, hey, this guy can't go downfield. This guy can't make these passes in tight windows. I'm going to try and do it. Hopefully for the Colts, they can play in some solid coverage, that they get these zones kind of tightened up a little bit. They get a hand on a ball, tip pass, interception, something of that sort. Cause a fumble, get to Kessler and create some pressure around him and make him make some bad decisions. This is all going to play a part in how the Colts attack them. And I think that the Colts, in this aspect, I think even their defense is better than the Jaguars' offense, which probably, like I said, isn't saying much with them sitting at 3-8. It's just kind of the way it is right now. As I said, Fournette will be out against the Colts, but they do have enough running back depth, in my opinion, to make up for some of that. Now, do they have enough to make up for all that? I don't know. Even if though Hyde is a powerful guy and shows that he can take on some contact, I don't think he's not Fournette. There's just a different thing with that. Not only that, Hyde and Yeldon struggle to get themselves square to the line of scrimmage when they run to the perimeter. And Fournette does that pretty quickly. When he's going laterally, he will get upfield, and he comes with power, and he doesn't need a whole lot of space to do it. So I think that those guys, that's where they're going to struggle. The Colts' pursuit has to be good. They're going to have to get a hand on him while these guys are running laterally and try to keep them from being able to use their burst to get upfield, because I don't think that they do that very well. Also, as we've mentioned, Kessler will be in, not Bortles. With him running the offense, it could make for a difficult scout on their offense, like I said before. It just makes it to where the Colts haven't seen much of Kessler. They're going to go back and look at some tape when he was in Cleveland and kind of try to decide what he does well, what he doesn't. But ultimately, it's going to be the play caller in Jacksonville who's going to help and make Kessler who he is with this offense. He's going to probably use a lot of, I wouldn't say misdirection, but they're going to use a lot of different things to try to get him some easy looks. We'll go through that here in just a second. Josh Walker, who is at left tackle, is questionable right now. He didn't play last week. Eric Flowers started, and if Eric Flowers starts at left tackle, that is a major liability for the Jags offensive line. He is awful. He's not good in pass protection. He is not good in the run game. He is a big body, and he will lay some people out. But as far as consistency, technique, all that good stuff, the Colts are really going to should have their way with him. This should help the Colts gain a lot of pressure on Kessler, especially off that end. And the Colts are going to have to attack him. With Ture playing, you would like to see Ture be able to use his burst and not try to necessarily match up physically with Flowers, because that will be a lost cause. I think that they also need to rotate and bounce around some of the defensive ends. I think that they could throw Tyquan Lewis on that end and try to get him to create some pressure. He is a very powerful guy, and he is quick enough. And I think that if you match him on Eric Flowers, if Flowers is the starter, then I think that that's a battle we could see Tyquan Lewis really kind of break out and really get his kind of ball rolling here late in the season. That should be interesting to watch. I think that Darius Leonard, and we could probably say this for every week because he's been so effective, him and the safeties are going to be huge in the play action game for the defense. They're going to have to hold the tight ends to short yardage after the catch. The Jaguars do well in play action because they slant their offensive line and they'll power through, they'll break out and come across the field to try to get one of those tight ends either late on a release, or they'll try to get him from coming across on a crossing pattern. And that's something the Colts defense is going to have to watch. They're going to have to make sure that they keep those guys, if they do catch the ball, to short yardage after the catch, because that I think that that's going to be one of the areas, and we'll talk about this in a second again, that I think that they're really going to try to use to get Kessler some easy looks, some early completions, use the tight ends, get those guys involved, use the running backs, get them involved, and try to create some, consistency with that offense and be able to try to string some several play drives together in order to keep the Colts defense on the field, because ultimately that's going to be the idea. They don't want Andrew Luck on the field any more than they have to be. That makes sense. They're going to have to try to keep their offense on the field, even if they're not effective and even if they're not running, getting a lot of yardage on each drive. They want several plays. Time is the enemy for the Colts in this. Colts are going to have to get off the field. So I think that we should expect a lot of slants. I think we should expect a lot of screens and a lot of tight end hitches and probably quite a bit of that play action against Kessler. Because like I said, they're going to want to get him in a groove. You can see that that's kind of the way that they've based the offense around Bortles. And I don't think that they're going to completely switch up everything just to get Kessler involved. Look, Kessler's been there for a while. Kessler's familiar with the offense. I just think they're going to try to tweak the game plan a little bit to favor Kessler a little bit more. One of the playmakers for the Jaguars is Westbrook. If they get Westbrook the ball in space, he's gonna make it hard for the Colts. The Colts are going to have to make sure that they are attacking the strengths of this Jaguars offense. They're going to have to keep Westbrook in check because Westbrook, with the ball in his hands, can make a lot of things happen, and that's not going to be good for the Colts. Yeldon and Hyde, they got a nice mix of spell snaps for Fournette last week. Like I said, I still wonder how effective they can be as the only two options. You're going to see Yeldon a lot in the screen game. You're going to see Hyde a lot trying to run between the tackles. But they are going to try to – they may try to go up the middle on the Colts. But I just don't feel like that's their best option. I feel like they're going to try to create a little bit of misdirection in the backfield. Some of those bringing Westbrook in motion and a quick, you know, jet sweep to the other side. That's going to be where the Colts defensive ends really have to get upfield and force them to cut inside. That's going to be a big play or a big option here for the Colts going forward, especially not just this week, but in the future here as the Colts really do try to push for a playoff spot. That's something that a lot of teams are doing right now. It's effective for the most part. The Colts have to be able to get outside and cut it off. Moncrief, he had a big play against the Colts, and this is kind of one of the last things we're going to talk about with their offense. He had a big play against the Colts last go-round. He's still a guy who can go up and get 50-50 balls, regardless if they can't get the ball to him in space. He's not a guy that they typically try to target and try to open up. They don't necessarily game plan to get him the ball, it seems. And with Bortles being so inaccurate lately, it's kind of hard to tell. But I think you've got Moncrief and you've got Westbrook as the wide receivers. You know, they haven't really used Cole a whole lot, so it kind of makes me wonder, you know, are they going to try to get him the ball a little bit? Because he's a player. I mean, he can play. But they just haven't been using him lately. You have not seen those games where he's been the guy where he's just opening up and kind of people aren't paying attention to him. I think they're going to use Moncrief a little bit, you know, try to get him, you know, they're taller of the receivers, they're big guy, try to get him in matchups against possibly Kenny Moore or something like that, or some of the smaller guys, in order to get him an option to where Kessler doesn't have to be completely accurate. He can get the ball in an area, and Moncrief's wingspan and his catch radius can play a part in all of that. In general, I just don't think that the Jaguars offense is much of a threat to the Colts, but the Colts can't go into this matchup and just think that they've got it in the bag. That's not something that the Colts can afford to do. And if they do, they're going to get surprised. They're going to get smacked around, guys. And it's not going to benefit them at all going in. They cannot allow they just cannot allow long drives. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't really matter if they're getting a lot of yardage. They can't allow long drives. They can't be on the field long because, one of the things with the Jaguars offense, which is surprising, they're fairly effective on third down. The Colts' defense on third down has gone downhill throughout the season. So that's something that we're going to have to watch and pay attention to, that the Colts can stop them on third down. Now, that's all a mystery right now with Kessler being under center. But the Colts have, you know, they've got some guys, like I said, they have to attack the strengths of this Jaguars offense. They're going to have to also attack the weaknesses, like I mentioned with Ereck Flowers possibly starting at left tackle. Walker is questionable right now, so that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to, but it's something to watch. And the Colts, honestly, should. Their front four, they need a nice boost of power and speed to get through to this. And the Jaguars' offensive line right now is a little vulnerable just in general. So it may be a matchup where the Colts can win. Now, let's look at the other side of the ball. Actually, let's wait and let's do our quick tick pick promo, and then we will get to the other side of the ball for both the Colts and the Jaguars. All right, Colts fans, we have a great deal for you. Let me tell you guys about Tick Pick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do, and if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seats you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for our listeners, they're offering you an amazing offer of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer either. They went all in for you guys. Not only do I use TickPick, but I approached them and wanted to get the word out on this company because it was so stinking easy, and nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's very user-friendly, and you get the same great tickets with lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this offer today, 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees. Okay, guys, let's look at the Colts defense and how they're going to match. I'm sorry, the Colts offense and how they're going to match up against this Jaguars defense right now. The Jaguars defense, look, sixth in yards per game allowed. They've got plenty that they are good at. Their run defense, I mean, you can look at what they do and say that their run defense isn't great, but their run defense is pretty good. The Colts only took off 81 yards on the ground last time they matched up. They're allowing 5.3 yards per play, and you know their third down percentage is, you know, something that it is important. The Colts are very good on third down. The Colts are very, very good on third down, but the Jaguars are ninth right now, only allowing 37% of third down conversions. That's kind of big. So this is the matchup right here that is really there to watch. You kind of have an iffy unit with the Colts. You've got a bad unit with the Colts with the Jaguars offense. But this side of the ball for both teams is really where the matchup, I think, is going to be made and won. The Colts offense had the clear advantage in the first matchup. They killed them in the first half. But the Colts offense also didn't do anything at all in the second half. That's not something that the Colts can afford to do, especially on the road now. The Colts don't particularly play great when they're down in Jacksonville. This is something the Colts are going to have to really make sure that they can put four full quarters of offense together when they play the Jaguars this week. And Sunday is going to be a big game. The Colts could be 7-5. They could also be 6-6. Those are two drastically different measures right now when you're looking at where the season is at right now and if the Colts are going to have an opportunity to make it to the playoffs. It's a big, big change. This is a big game. Don't let the record for the Jacksonville Jaguars fool you. The Colts can blow it. We have to hope that Frank Reich is on point with his play calling. We have to hope that the Colts can execute, that T.Y. Hilton can continue to be involved early and often, that the Colts are going to be able to do something with their tight ends. With Yerick Ebron's a little nicked up, Jack Doyle's out on IR, Mo Alley Cox is out this week for sure. So, I mean, Ryan Hewitt's back, but look, this is, you know, Swoop, is he going to be able to do anything? We just don't know. This is going to be a big week for the Colts right now, getting everybody on point, hopefully keeping everybody healthy and letting this offense eat a little bit. Their defense, something that we've known for a while about this Jaguars defense, they're a very fast flowing front seven. It'll be a big help for the Colts in play action, but otherwise, if the Colts can't be creative offensively with the run game, We're going to probably see a struggling run game against them this week. So the Colts are going to have to kind of not revamp their running game, but they're going to have to do something to eat off of this fast-flowing front seven of the Jaguars. They're going to have to try to find ways to cut back. They're going to have to bring down some crackback blocks from the receivers or maybe the tight ends after they come in motion. Something to free them up for the first 5 yards is going to be critical, I think, for the Colts. When the Jaguars defense, their front four, when they stay out of the A gaps, their pass rush is at its best. The Colts will have to, and Andrew Luck at the line of scrimmage is going to have to be very aware of what they're doing up front. Can he switch up a play, go to the running game? Can he change packages, quickly, or at least looks quickly and effectively, to give the Colts the best opportunity to get 4 or 5 yards a play on these guys, and then also be able to string these several play drives together to keep the Colts effective? We'll have to see. But when the Jaguars are all in and they're tight, the Colts will be able to run on the perimeter. When the Jaguars are spread out a little bit, their pass rush is good. Their run defense really doesn't take much of a hit, but Luck's going to have to be at his best mentally at the line of scrimmage in order to kind of bring down some of their strengths up front. Miles Jack, it will be one that they have to use a pulling lineman to take out. His speed just allows him to make up for any initial over-pursuit, not just on his part, but on the rest of the guys up front. He does such a good job of planting his foot, getting the other way, shedding a block on the outside, and then getting to the ball carrier. He is going to be a real struggle for the Colts. They're going to have to use occasionally that pulling lineman to come out and get ahead of him and to bury him. And, you know, with him switching back from weak to strong, it's going to be a difficult task. They may have to use Glowinski to do it, but hopefully, you know, you would like to see Nelson be the guy that's pulling, whether it's to his side or across the field. One way or another, they're going to have to do that. And they're going to have to do that with a couple guys because their corners are pretty physical. You know, they can also be a hamper to the Jaguars' defense, but their corners in general and their linebackers are really physical. But their front four just flows so fast, we can take them out of the play and we can keep them down. There's going to be a lot of scheming to get those first 5 yards from the running backs this week. I think it's going to be crucial, honestly. The Jags are susceptible to big plays via the screen game, but the Colts' screen game this year has been very poor all year, to say the least. If Wright can dial something up that works, he needs to look back at some of these other teams that have had quality screen games and get them to where that they can have a play that can confuse and allow for these running backs to get the ball clean and get upfield with some blockers in front of them. It's necessary because, like I said, the Colts screen game's been awful this year. And the Jags, with the way that they pursue so quickly and so dramatically, you can get them off. It's really going to be the linebackers that the Colts really have to try to make sure that they get picked up and scheme for. As I mentioned, the Colts ran for only 81 yards in their first meeting, and the Jags D still looking good versus the run. I mean, they look good versus the Bills. They bottled up McCoy for the most part, but they're going to have to do more than that. The Colts are going to have to do more than 81 yards on the ground. The Colts are going to face a lot of pressure. The Jaguars are going to come hell-bent towards Andrew Luck. They do not like the fact that he's only been sacked once in the past several weeks. They're going to come after him. They're going to come after him hard. Running to the perimeter, like I said earlier, might actually be the best option to get some big yardage, but that's going to create a lot of scheme changes and a lot of scheming for Frank Reich in this offensive line. They're going to have to use the running backs intelligently. They're going to have to move the receivers around a little bit, maybe use Pascal as a big body to come down and block at the second level. It's all going to be very fun to watch, I think, actually, because I'm interested to see how much Frank Reich learned from that first game offensively and what he uses to kind of take out some of their big players and allow the Colts to get some big yards and hopefully some big second and third level yardage as well. Luck's pocket mobility will be very crucial to avoiding sacks and making plays. They were all over Josh Allen this past week. Look, the Bills' offensive line is not the Colts' offensive line. But we also know that Frank Reich and his play calling and getting Andrew Luck to get the ball out quickly has helped a ton with the no sacks type deal. I think that the offensive line is significantly better than they've been in the past in several years. But we also can't just rule out the fact that if Luck has to stay in the pocket for a few seconds, that he's not going to face some pressure, especially off the edges. I think the interior is significantly better. It allows Luck to step up and make plays downfield, go through his progressions, all that good stuff. And that's going to be key too. But this Jacksonville front, man, they're tough, guys. So, I mean, we have to expect Luck to have some pressure. We have to expect Luck to be able to move in the pocket and be smart and to be aware of what's coming from the outside as well as up the middle because, you know, the Colts can't really afford to have him, you know, be strip sacked. The Colts really can't afford to have him sacked multiple times. The Colts are going to have to use good protection scheming to get Andrew Luck to get the ball downfield, and they're going to have to use these guys at their second and third option to come across the field. That's where the Jaguars have some real vulnerabilities in their secondary. There are some big plays pending there for, you know, depending on the execution, of course, but especially in the middle of the defense. Intermediate throws could be huge chain movers for Luck in this offense, and I think that the Colts, when they can put – they've done this in the past. They've done this all year, really, at least the past six, seven, 8 weeks. You get Luck into a rhythm. You get some of these quick passes out of the way. You get some of the slants. You get some of the, you know, the crossing patterns down on the short to intermediate routes while the Jaguars defense is probably at their best early in the game. And then you try to go downfield. Then you get these things all set up and you start really scheming against this defense and trying to get some big plays out. I think that you look at T.Y. being involved early and trying to get him downfield. That's something that you have to do sparingly. You have to make sure you use T.Y. up close and early because once T.Y., if you notice, once T.Y. is effective in the short to intermediate passing game, those long plays tend to come a little bit easier. If you're sending T.Y. on nine routes all game long, he's going to be ineffective. He might catch one for a touchdown. There's always a possibility of that for sure. But you really can't – I mean, it's almost just like running three downs every single time. If you continue to do that, you make your offense one-dimensional. They can't afford to make T.Y. a one-dimensional receiver. They have to make sure they get him involved in short routes, outs across outside of the boundary, towards the boundary, outside the numbers. And they've got to be able to make sure that he can run his routes. He's a quick route runner. He's not the most crisp at the top of his route. But he is quick enough, he is smart and heady enough to where he'll make sure that that DB turns his back before he cuts. So getting T.Y. involved, in my opinion, is one of the biggest keys of this game offensively and how they and where they get him involved in. The Colts still have to get a pass rush and can't expect, you know, Kessler just to be bad. That's something that I put in the one of the keys to the game as well as we kind of wrap up this offense. I mean, the Colts offense just has to be what they've been, you know, in general. But when you look at one of the keys to the game here, the Colts have to get a good, solid pass rush on Kessler. He is going to be vulnerable. He's going to be a guy that the Colts know that they can get off his spot. They're going to have to get him to step up, and they're going to have to get that interior pressure to where he's stepping up into a face mask and getting lit up. That's just something that the Colts are going to have to make sure that they do. I think when you look strictly offensively for the Colts against this Colts D or against this Jaguars defense, you have to make sure that you continue to be very, very balanced with this offense. They've been able to continue to run the ball, even if they haven't had the most effectiveness from their running backs. They have to continue to run the ball and continue to allow Luck to use play action. He's one of the best in the league at using it, but he's also great without it. So you have to be able to throw several different looks at this defense to keep them off balance. Like I said, I really think that we're going to see this Jaguars defense selling out. I think they're going to come full bore at Andrew Luck, and I think that's going to open up a lot. They're going to rely, in my opinion, a lot on their linebackers to stop the running backs. I think they're going to send their front four a ton against the Colts. I think they're going to send a linebacker or two quite a bit. The Colts and Andrew Luck have to be good at the line of scrimmage. They've got to be able to pick these up because, I mean, you can change a game as a bad team when you get constant pressure and you throw a major wrench in the other team's game plan. The Colts have to be smart. They've got to be effective. And they're going to have to make sure that they are getting everything in line, that they are picking up all of their blocks, that their running backs continue to be good in protection. They've got to, as I mentioned, they've got to use T.Y. Hilton, both short, intermediate, and the deep ball, to make sure that he can be as effective as possible throughout the game. Ryan Grant's kind of been missing. I love to see Dontrell Inman get a little bit more involved. I think he's a big-time guy for the Colts as far as securing the pass, keeping the ball, and keeping the chains moving, quite honestly. So we've got a lot to look forward to in this game. It's a big AFC South matchup, regardless of record. And the Colts right now have a real opportunity to not only take the lead as the sixth spot in the wild card hunt, but to just stay in it and allow this season to play out. And for the Colts to continue to win, they're going to be a big, big, I mean, they are going to be big trouble for a lot of teams if they can get their consistency together. Their chemistry in a lot of places has been fantastic, but they've got to make sure that they continue to be effective consistently offensively and that they continue to make plays defensively. Obviously, those are major keys to any team, but for this Colts team, their position right now, where they are kind of set up with their rebuild and where the roster is at in terms of talent, that I think it's major for the Colts. Like I said, it doesn't really matter who they're playing, especially when you're in a division where you are, or especially when you're in a divisional game where you're playing a team that has swamped you a few times in the recent history. This is a big game for the Colts. They go out there and put four full quarters together. This will be a big boost for their morale, especially within that locker room, and hopefully they can keep everybody healthy. So thank you guys for joining me for another Colts Film Room. It's a big game tomorrow. Colts could be 7-5. That would be a huge boost. So we will all talk again following the game, whether I do it Sunday night or Monday evening as well. I'm not certain, but like I said, make sure that you guys are getting to iTunes and giving us a rating and review for the podcast channel. Make sure you guys are listening to Horseshoes with Holder. Make sure you guys are listening to the Dark Horses, the Colts cast. We'll have film rooms up. We've got a really nice setup right now with a lot of good different shows, I think, for you guys. I hope you guys are enjoying them and taking advantage of them. And more than anything, we'll just talk to you next time right here on Colts Film Room. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.